Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, the Sunday of Joy. We also invite you to worship with us in person this Sunday. It's a special Sunday at our church as our choir is singing their Christmas cantata. We would be glad to see you at our church at 101 North Oak. That's the church with the clock in the steeple. Again, thank you for listening to A Time of Hope. Everett, one of our confirmands, and his family light our third Advent candle, the candle of joy.
Today is the third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of joy.
Our joy is in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Like hope and peace, joy is a gift from God. It overtakes us and fills us when we remember what God has done and what He has promised to do.
We light this pink candle today to remind us that Christ came and is coming, so that all people might have a rich and abundant life. We thank God for the hope He gives us, for the peace He bestows, and for the joy He pours into our hearts.
Our congregation sings Away in a Manger as our children come forward for children's time, led by our senior high puppeteers.
Thank you for coming today. Hello to our online friends too. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. Advent is the time we spend getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Jesus' coming to earth is so important to us, so special, so amazing, that it takes four whole Sundays to get ready. Today's topic for lighting the candle is joy.
Joy. What could you say to explain joy? Well, I would start by saying that I am very happy, but joy is more than that. It is a feeling deep in your heart that says everything is good. We have two Bible verses to consider. The first one comes from the prophet Isaiah. He said, "When Jesus comes, He will make the blind see, make cripples walk, heal diseases, and bring people back to life. Everything is possible for Jesus. He is God's Son."
The other scriptures found in the New Testament, Matthew tells of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. He spent a lot of time getting people ready for Jesus. Matthew tells when Jesus was baptized by John, the heavens opened, and God said, "This is my son, and I love him very much." John knew Jesus was the Messiah because he healed people of their diseases and brought some people back to life. Jesus brings good news for all of us.
Please bow your heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to save us. Help us share His love and good news with others. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may go back to your seat.
Our children's choir's special music is Deck the Halls. David Gadamar reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Eddie's sermon, A Time for Joy.
Please join me in today's prayer for illumination. God of light and life, as we listen to your word, open our hearts to joy. Let the promises of Isaiah take root in us, and let the good news it proclaims to John remind us that your kingdom is already among us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The first for scripture lesson is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God has come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap like a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, and fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come up to it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This ends our first lesson. Our second scripture lesson is from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 to 11. Now, when John had heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind shall receive their sight. The lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind? Why then did you go out? To see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, those who wear soft raiment are in the king's houses. Why then did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I shall send my messenger before thy face, who will prepare a way before thee. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This ends today's scripture lessons.
I must feel like I don't have to do anything. All the kids said and sung and did everything that needs to be said. Today is the third Sunday in Advent. It is a Sunday where we're trying to change things up. The candle is pink. It is done this way so that we can... the reason why it's pink is so we can change things up, and all the waiting that we're doing gives us a chance to open and change the waiting up. We have 4 weeks of waiting, and we're wanting to wait a little longer. 4 weeks is a long time, and yet we have some more time to go. It is a candle of joy. It is a candle of what we are trying to be about. But there's other stuff that's going on here in this text. Last week, we were introduced to John. We were introduced to this man, this burly man, John, who, if you were wearing hearing aids last week, you probably didn't like what I was doing in the children's message that said, shout, and I shouted really loud, and it probably did a number to your hearing aids, and I'm very sorry about that. But this week we're talking about John too, and this time John is in prison. He is not wearing that camel hair and the girdle around him. He is sitting in prison alone. This week he is not that strong man in the wilderness preparing the straight path. He is in prison, wondering if his ministry is complete, wondering if he has done everything that he was supposed to do for the one that was to come, wondering if the one that he baptized was the one that was the one. And yet, because he questioned that, because he made that question, because he decided to ask that question, he sent one of his disciples to Jesus. And he sent that disciples to say, Are you the one? Or do we need to go looking for yet another? Well, I don't know what John was going to be able to do sitting in prison, because John was going to be there for quite a while, and John's future was not looking very good, because John, the future of John's life was pretty limited. One of the next stories that we'll hear from John is his execution and why he's executed and how, but that's another story, and not a nice story, and not one for Advent. That's a story you guys can read at another time. But the story here today is that John send someone to Jesus. Are you the one? Are you the one that my ministry was for? And Jesus actually answers the question. And Jesus actually answers it straight up. He does not go through some of the questions in his ministry like he used to in other other stories we hear from Jesus. Stories that we all know from when Jesus asks, "Who do you think I am?" You remember those stories. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you think I am?" And they say, "You are the Christ." And he tells them, "Shh." But Jesus says, "Tell Paul what you see and what you hear, that the blind have their sight, and the deaf hear, and the lepers are healed. Tell John that this is happening. Tell John what you are seeing. Tell John that this is going on. Tell John all that you see and all that you hear." And that will tell John the answer to his question. No doubt John will understand that this is the answer to his question. And he will not doubt. He will not doubt the answer. For Jesus is clear about what the answer is, that he is the one. Today we talk about joy, and joy is something that goes beyond just happiness. I could probably point to any one of you in this sanctuary and say, "Tell me something joyful." And I'm sure that any one of you could give me a scenario of something joyful in your life. But joyful is not just happiness. Joyful in Scripture, joyful in church, joyful as a member of church is deep-rooted in hope. If it is not deep-rooted in the hope of God, it is not fully joy. That joy from God, joy that we get from God, needs to be deep-rooted in the hope of God. If we do that, if we understand that joy is deeply rooted in God's hope for us, if we understand that joy is deeply rooted in God's hope for us, then we can understand the seriousness and understand the joy that we have and we know from God. In all this, we know one thing. In this scripture, in this gospel lesson, we know that Jesus honored John. Jesus did not say to John, "You don't need to know the answer to that." Jesus affirmed John for who he was. Jesus affirmed John for his faith. Jesus affirmed John for what he did in his walk in faith. Jesus affirmed him in making that path go straight. Jesus affirmed him in the baptism that he did. What an amazing thing that he was called to do. What an amazing baptism that John the Baptist did. Something that we might not ever be able to do ourselves. To affirm such a ministry beyond anything we could do as individuals. For you see, joy in this season of Advent is so tied into waiting. We wait in this season. We wait for things to come. We wait for this season to prepare for what is to be. We wait for this child to come. We wait for all those things that we know will be in just a few weeks. We wait for the joy of the Christ child. The joy of Christ will come. The joy of Christ will come in a stinky, smelly stable with Mary and Joseph, caring for the infant child. And the joy will come. There is a teacher who used to teach in an economically underprivileged school. And she used to go around to different schools. And she was a music teacher. And she used to take her talent with her in an old ratty suitcase that was falling apart. And she taught grade school kids. And she would go from classroom to classroom. And she walked into this one classroom. It was a grade school. And she put her suitcase down and opened it up, and it was in pieces. And the kids walked around the suitcase and started picking out the different instruments, a tambourine and a flute and a kazoo. Yeah, they love the kazoos. But there was this one boy way over there. His name was Daniel. And the teacher's name was Maria. And Maria asked Daniel to come over. And Daniel said, "Why? I can't play anything. And even if I could play something, it would sound awful." And she said, "Come on, Daniel. We can play something." He said, "Nah, I can't play anything. I don't do music at all." And Marie said, "Come on, I'll teach you." And she finally coaxed him over. And she asked him if he had ever played any instrument in his life. And he said, "No." And she reached down deep into her suitcase and she pulled out this violin. Well, this violin was scratched, and in the neck there was cracks, and the strings were all over the place, and the bow had strings flying all over the place. And he said, "There is no way that you're going to be able to play that violin. It will never work. There's scratches and there's dents and there's all kinds of things wrong with it. You'll never be able to play it." And she quietly put the violin up to her chin. And she closed her eyes. And she put the strings real tight. And she played such beautiful music. And all the children in the classroom stood quiet and stopped playing their music. And they listened to her. And Daniel just stood there. And when she stopped playing, he said, "How did you do that? There's no way that violin could play that. And she said, come, play the violin. He said, there's no way I could play anything like that. And she coaxed him some more. And she helped him play it, and she put the violin to him, and she helped him along the way. And slowly, she got him to play the violin, and a tune came out of the violin. And it got stronger and stronger, and it became a beautiful tune. And all the kids in the class stood there in shock that this little boy who said nothing good could come out of this played this beautiful tune. And they stood there with smiles on their faces. He gave the violin back to the teacher, and he smiled and he said, I had never heard such beautiful music. What happiness came over his heart. The kids left the classroom. Daniel went up to the teacher and he said to her, I never thought this could ever happen. How did you make this happen? And he said, God loves broken instruments. God loves us. We are broken instruments sometimes. And sometimes we are joyful instruments. May God bless us, and may the joy of this season hit our hearts and be with us as we wait for the coming of the Christ child. Amen.